insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, hello and welcome. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. And in this edition of the program, we'll have a look at some of the contents of Surah Ankabut. So now let's listen to the 41st verse again.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
مثل الذين اتخذوا من دون الله أولياء كمثل العنكبوت اتخذت بيتا وإن أوهن البيوت لبيت العنكبوت لو كانوا يعلمون
The example of those who take allies other than Allah is like that of the spider who takes a home. And indeed, the weakest of homes is the home of the spider, if they only knew.
So, brothers and sisters, we said that the previous verses were talking about the painful and actually sad fate of those arrogant, self-loving pagans, and their ending was mentioned. And now in this verse we have a parable. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ كَمَثَلِ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ The parable of those who take guardians beside Allah is as the parable of the spider. اتَّخَذَتْ بَيْتًا That makes for itself a house. وَإِنَّ أَوْهَنَ الْبُيُوتِ لَبَيْتُ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ And verily the frailest of all houses is the house of the spider. So, we said that this is a very interesting and expressive parable, and this is a very comprehensive one at the very same time. Why? Because when you look deeper, when you actually investigate further, you understand that the house of Ankabut is very strange. The spider's web are so weak, the materials are so weak, and this is not something to be called bait or house, because for a house to be a house, at least we need some, actually, something to be called roof. We need some doors, we need some ceilings, but none of them does this have. So, even the materials that are used in making this house, they are so weak. And if a mild wind blows, it will tear it away. If a few drops of rain fall on it, they destroy it completely. The least flame of fire burns it. It will torn up. It will be torn up, actually, even with a little dust, and it will hang on the ceiling. That's how we have all actually experienced this quality of the house of the spider, the spider webs. The false objects of worship of this group, these pagans, have neither any profit nor harm, nor can remove any difficulty, nor can be a place of refuge for anyone. That's why they're not called a house. On the day of affliction, they benefit nothing and no one. So, it is true that this house not only is a resting place for the spider with its long legs, but also a snare for hunting insects and earning food. While comparing it with the houses of other animals and insects, it is very weak, very, very unstable. So, dear listeners, now that we talked about what the nature of this Baytul Ankabut is, we understand this parable better. Those who choose a support from other than the Almighty Allah, their support is as the web of spider. The crown and throne of persons like Pharaoh, the endless wealth of individuals such as Qarun, the castles and treasures of the kings, they are all the likes of webs of a spider. Why? Because in comparison with the Almighty Allah, although they are called something like benefit, I mean, the spider web is something like a house for the spider itself, but when you compare it with other kinds of houses, other kinds of nests for other animals, it's nothing. So that's why these kings, these pharaohs, these qaruns, these castles, these treasures, they are weak, they are unstable and unreliable, and they are totally and absolutely ephemeral before the storm of events. And the history also shows us that none of these things can be the support of man. But those who rely on their faith and trust in Allah, they have relied on a firm and strong support. Because the verse of the Quran says, فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ, the one who negates طاغوت, the one who believes in Allah, فَقَدْ إِسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى, surely he is the one who has chosen something firm to rely on. He is the one who has relied on a firm and strong support. It is also necessary to note that through the house of a spider and its webs, we can understand this fact that although this is house, although these webs are used as proverb for its weakness, that is one of the wonders of the world, of creation also. Because paying attention to it makes man more acquainted with the greatness of the world. We are not ignorant of it at the very same time. But what we are talking about is the comparison, is the kind of parable that has been used in this verse. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this episode as well. We'll discuss more regarding this 41st verse, God willing, in the next episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Until the next program, take care.
Things always worked for me.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to Iran Radio from the heart of Tehran. We're grateful you stay tuned with us throughout the day. First, another compelling segment from our radio productions. We've put together a variety of engaging pieces for your listening enjoyment. Then, for a segment featuring profound scholarship, we bring you Ulema's speech. In this program, we broadcast excerpts from the Farsi and Arabic voices of well-known and reputable Islamic and Shia scholars and authorities with English translation, a unique opportunity to learn from the masters. To cap off this hour, it's time for Minbar. In this program, we present selected excerpts from the speeches of renowned Islamic scholars, covering a wide range of topics including ethics, theology, Quranic interpretation, Islamic history, and at times social and political issues. Such powerful messages from the scholars. Next up, it's time for another segment of radio productions. Stay with us.
That was the week that was. Beyond the headlines, we dissect the stories that shaped the past 7 days from the heart of region to the global stage. In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to our political chat show, That Was the Week, That Was. We look at global politics and issues of the day, and I'm your host, Leila Garcia. With me here in the studio is veteran journalist and political commentator, Miranda Akhshand. Please stay tuned. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks very much indeed.
Today's discussion is about a new survey which has found half of Europeans see Donald Trump as enemy of Europe. A new survey has found that nearly half of Europeans see Donald Trump as an enemy of Europe. Rather, more the risk of war with Russia has high, and more than two-thirds believe their country would not be able to defend itself in the event of such a war. The nine-country poll from the Paris-based European Affairs Debt Platform, the Grand Continent, also found that nearly three-quarters of respondents wanted their country to stay in the EU, with almost as many saying leaving the Union had harmed the UK. Jean-Yves Dolmagen, a political science professor and founder of the polling agency Cluster 17, said Europe is not only facing growing risk, it is also undergoing a transformation of its historical, geopolitical, and political environment. The overall picture of the survey shows Europe that is anxious, that is deeply aware of its vulnerabilities, and that is struggling to project itself positively into the future. Okay, let's bring in veteran journalist and political commentator Meron Derakhshand.
Thanks for inviting me.
My first question is, the survey has also found a relative majority, 51%, felt the risk of open war with Russia in the coming years was high. Tell us more about that.
Yes, this survey was actually conducted in nine European countries, namely France, Italy, Spain, Germany, Poland, Portugal, Croatia, Belgium, and the Netherlands. And a majority, or a slight majority, about 51%, felt the risk of open war with Russia in the coming years was high, and 18% considered the risk of war with Russia as very high. So views varied strongly according to proximity to Russia. For example, 77% of respondents in Poland considered the risk of war with Russia to be high, and 54% of the French public considered the risk to be high, 51% in Germany, 39% of the public in Portugal thought the risk of war with Russia was high. Portugal is much further away than Poland, for example, and 34% mm-hmm. in Italy felt that way.
Right.
The survey showed that the possibility of direct conflict on the European continent is now widely accepted by the European public.
But the survey also found that confidence in national military capabilities was low everywhere. Can you explain that for us?
Yes, confidence in national military capabilities was low. Mm-hmm. And the survey found with 69% of respondents across the nine European countries said they thought their country was not really or not at all capable of defending itself against Russia.
Right.
French respondents were the most confident, but it remained a minority opinion at 44%.
Mm-hmm.
In Poland, for example, which shares a border with Russia, 58% were not confident. And political science professor and founder of the polling agency, Jean-Yves Dormagen, said, "We're entering an age of danger while feeling a persistent sense of national weakness."
Right.
Feelings of vulnerability were widely shared, according to the survey, with only 12% of respondents saying they did not feel particularly threatened by a raft of sources of insecurity, ranging from technological and military insecurity to energy and to food.
Yeah. The vast majority of respondents across the nine European countries in the survey backed EU membership. Tell us more about that.
Yes, you're right. The vast majority of those who replied in the nine countries supported European Union membership. 74% of the European public said they wanted their country to remain in the European bloc.
Yeah.
With this sentiment being highest in Portugal, 90% of the public in Portugal said they wanted their country to remain within the European Union. In Spain, 89% of the public said they wanted Spain to remain in the European Union. The second lowest was in Poland with 68%, and the lowest was actually in France.
Right.
With 61% of the French public saying they wanted France to remain within the EU.
Mm-hmm. What did the survey say about Brexit, the UK's decision to leave the European Union?
Yes, well, that's another point in the survey. Britain's decision to leave the European Union is widely seen in Europe as a failure. 63% of the European public believe Brexit had actually had a negative impact on Britain, and only 19% thought it had been positive. And just 5% thought Brexit had been very positive.
Mm-hmm.
So the vast majority, 63% of the European public, thought Brexit, Britain's decision to leave the European Union, had a negative impact on Britain.
Right. Donald Trump has admitted that the path to peace in Ukraine is unclear. What is the latest on peace negotiation between U.S. and Russia and U.S. and Ukraine?
Donald Trump's special envoy, Steve Witkoff, accompanied by Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, spent nearly 5 hours in talks with President Vladimir Putin at the Kremlin on Tuesday, 2nd of December.
Mm-hmm.
Moscow later said the meeting had not brought the sides any closer to a peace agreement. But Donald Trump on Wednesday, 3rd of December, described the discussions in Moscow as reasonably good, though he acknowledged that the path ahead for peace in Ukraine remained unclear.
Right.
Speaking to reporters in the Oval Office on Wednesday, 3rd of December, Trump said Putin would like to make a deal,
mm-hmm.
but what comes out of that meeting, I can't tell you because it takes two to tango.
I see.
And President Trump said the U.S. had something pretty well worked out with Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
Ukraine's president, Volodymyr Zelensky, has ruled out giving up territory Ukraine currently holds. And on Wednesday, he said his team was preparing for meetings in the U.S., adding that dialogue with Trump's representatives would continue.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the latest on the peace efforts between U.S. and Russia and
right.
U.S. and Ukraine.
Yeah, I see. There is some anxiety and mistrust among European leaders over Washington's role in the peace negotiation with Russia. Tell us more about that.
Yes, this is a leaked transcript of a high-level call published by the German magazine Der Spiegel.
Mm-hmm.
And it has exposed deep anxiety among European leaders over Washington's role in the peace negotiations with Moscow. The call, held on Monday, 1st of December, included the French President Emmanuel Macron, Germany's Chancellor Friedrich Merz, NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte, and Finland's President Alexander Stubb,
right,
as well as Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine and various other leaders and politicians.
Mm-hmm.
According to the transcript, several participants voiced fears that the United States could abandon Ukraine at a critical moment.
Yeah.
For example, the French President Emmanuel Macron said, "There is a possibility that the United States will betray Ukraine on the issue of territory without providing clarity on security guarantees."
Mm-hmm.
And Macron warned of a great danger for Volodymyr Zelensky if Kiev were left exposed. Now, the German Chancellor Friedrich Merz urged Zelensky to be extremely careful in the coming days. Merz said, "They are playing games both with you and with us." He was apparently referring to Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner,
yeah,
whom Friedrich Merz said they were playing games with both Zelensky and with the Europeans.
Right.
And Finland's President Alexander Stubb appeared to back Friedrich Merz's assessment. So the Finnish President Alexander Stubb said, "We cannot leave Ukraine and Volodymyr Zelensky alone with these guys."
Mm-hmm.
So with these guys, he meant Steve Witkoff, President Trump's special envoy, and his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. He said, "We can't leave Ukraine and Volodymyr Zelensky alone with these guys." Presumably, I think he meant Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner.
Yeah, right.
Now, on Wednesday, the European Commission announced it would move ahead with controversial plans to fund Ukraine with a loan based on Russia's frozen assets.
Mm-hmm.
This is completely illegal and goes against international laws and protocols. In a concession to concerns raised by Belgium — Belgium is the host of most of these Russian assets — the European Union executive has also proposed the option of an EU loan,
mm-hmm,
based on common borrowing. EU leaders will be asked to decide on the options later this month as Ukraine faces a funding emergency now. Russia's Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev has unequivocally stated that if the European Commission's plan to fund Ukraine with Russia's frozen assets is in effect a declaration of war on Russia.
I see. Listening to the Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran, English Radio. This program entitled, "That Was the Week That Was." Foreign Policy Chief Kaya Kallas has said the fierce talks between the Russian President Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump's special envoy Steve Witkoff will pile pressure on Ukraine to make concessions. What is that about?
Yes, the European Union Foreign Policy Chief Kaya Kallas, referring to Steve Witkoff, Vladimir Putin meeting, said, "I'm afraid that all the pressure will be put on Ukraine to make concessions and obligations."
Yeah.
Whereas in order to have peace, she said, "We shouldn't lose focus that it was actually Russia who started this war."
Mm-hmm.
Now, European leaders have been alarmed by a U.S. plan, which they say is heavily tilted in Russia's favor, that emerged last month in November to end the war between Russia and Ukraine. The plan granted Moscow territories in eastern Ukraine it did not yet control, while forcing Kiev to cap the size of its army and abandon its ambition to join NATO.
Right.
The plan has since been changed, of course, but Ukraine's European allies remain concerned about any peace plan,
mm-hmm,
that could enshrine the forced change of Ukraine's borders. So EU Foreign Policy Chief Kaya Kallas also said, "The push to end the war in Ukraine could be entering a pivotal week,"
mm-hmm,
warning that allowing Russia to change borders by force would set a dangerous precedent for the entire world. Now, earlier, Kallas described weekend talks in Florida, United States, between U.S. and Ukraine as difficult but productive. She was asked whether she trusted the United States to find a good solution for peace in Ukraine.
Yeah.
And Kallas said, Ukrainians are there alone, meaning they're alone in Florida.
Yeah.
If they would be together with the Europeans, they would definitely be much stronger. But I trust that Ukrainians can stand up for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky is under pressure after the sudden resignation of his head of cabinet and one of his closest advisors, Andrei Yermak, in response to a widening anti-corruption investigation that has become the most serious scandal in Volodymyr Zelensky's presidency. So Andrew Yermak has actually stepped down now. He was one of the closest advisors to Zelensky. He was also the head of the cabinet. He has resigned from his position. And also a new study has shown that Russia has made the biggest advances in Ukraine in November of 2025, just last month. The Russian army has captured 701 square kilometers of land, the second largest territorial advance in the war after November of 2024, according to a new analysis.
To sum up very briefly then, the European public sees Donald Trump as the enemy of Europe, and European politicians are very anxious and worried that the Trump administration might betray Ukraine in the peace negotiation with Russia. Thank you, Mr. Dashen, for your insightful analysis.
Thank you very much.
For more on these and other critical issues, be sure to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. And that brings us to the end of today's program. Join us again next time for another edition of That Was the Week That Was. Take care and goodbye.
Never forget to say Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked as
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. We're welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. Please stay tuned. We read in the Holy Quran, so indeed we sent it down during the night of Qadr. We sent the Quran down on the night of Qadr. Then he said, and what can make you know what the night of Qadr is? Not even the Prophet fully knows what the night of Qadr is. The night of Qadr is better than 1,000 months. 1,000 months divided by 12 is over 80 years. A long lifetime. So it is a night where a single night is worth a long lifetime.
شب قدر چه بشه اوگذاریه چون خدا بهترین نعمت رو شب قدر به ما داد قرآن.
The night of Qadr is a night of gratitude because God gave us the greatest blessing, the Quran, on this night. Our fundamental value is due to revelation or vahy, because animals also have desires and instincts. Other humans also possess intellect and innate disposition or fitra. What we have that others do not, aside from desire, intellect, and fitra, is revelation and wahy. This means we are connected to the unseen realm. The message has been sent down to us from the Creator of existence, sent down by He who created the heavens and the earth. The Quran came from the one who created the great heavens. Our connection to such an origin is our value, because our value lies in revelation. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. To find out more about this program and our other programs, please log on to our website, iranradio.ir. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من، این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم نیست.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslim's major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
کتاب الله.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أو يهو بليس استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
منبر, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, Salamun Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani.
One of the blessings, the barakah, the fruit of recognizing Allah is kabir and Allah is azim. Not just believing that Allah exists. Allah exists. Allah's our Khaliq. No, not just that. If I am one of those people who recognizes that Allah is kabir, Allah is great, Allah is grand, one of the blessings of believing in that Allah is that we're able to go through life and feel a deep sense of tranquility and peace. One of the blessings. If someone believes and accepts that Allah is kabir, Allah is azim, and I feel that, again, we're leaning on some of those talks I've had before, not saying it, I can lean in to the idea that Allah is azim. If I can do that, and Allah is great, I can also rely on Allah. I can trust Allah. That's impossible. And then I can feel inner peace. That's impossible unless prior to this, I've embraced Allah as Azim. I want to share one of the laws of the universe so we can get to the fruits of this discussion, inshallah. Can I share a law of the universe with you, brothers and sisters? Can you turn with me to a verse of the Holy Quran? It's about inner peace, right? But there's a principle, and then after that, let's move towards the principle. So this one, brothers and sisters, a law of the universe. And later we're going to see this is in our hands too. Do we want to experience inner peace? Do we want to experience tranquility? If we do, it's in our hands. Law of the universe. The law of the universe is this. This is Surah 13. Surah 13 and verse number 28. 13:28. Allah says this in the Quran. 13:28. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Those who believe. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. And their hearts find peace, find that tranquility, بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, with the remembrance of Allah. Then Allah says the principle, next part of the verse. Allah, know this. Allah, بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Know this. It is only with the remembrance of Allah. Only with the remembrance of Allah that the hearts find peace. Only with the remembrance of Allah. So, brothers and sisters, now I'd like us to just kind of take a pause. Take a pause. And again, this is because these discussions aren't about anybody else. These are about you and I experiencing the good life that Allah wants us to have right here, before the Akhirah. Have you and I, question now. Have you and I, can we review our lives? Were there times in our lives where we genuinely felt peace? Genuinely. Felt trust, peace, safe. If we examine those, we go back in our lives, the times, those days, those years, maybe for some of us, we spend all of our time like that, where I really felt a deep sense of peace, we will find at that time, I trusted in Allah. The root cause, if you were to ask me, why was it at that period of my life, I truly, really felt that deep inner peace? It was because at that time, for whatever, however long it lasted, I really could relax in Allah's care. And when I did that, I felt it. The rule is, and this is in our hands, if I would like to experience that sukoon, that sakina, that aramish, that peace, the only way is with trusting in Allah. It's contingent to me being able to rely on Him. Let me give you an example. We all have heard the stories of Imam Khomeini. Imam Khomeini. May Allah raise him with the Ahlul Bayt, the man who showed us the way. Imam Khomeini had so many amazing things about his personality, but one of them was that inner peace, that lack of fear, absolute bravery, never shaken, never the moment too big, that was there in the life of Imam Khomeini. And if you remember, I shared this previously. Our leader, Imam Khamenei, said this, I have never seen, he said, I take Allah as my witness, I have never seen or heard about, I've never read about anybody who trusted Allah as much. That's the rule. Allah bi dhikrillah tatmainnu al-qulub. One story from the life of Imam Khomeini. Once, during the imposed war, Imam Khomeini was about to offer salah. Right? He was at the stage where literally he's about to do takbir, takbiratul ihram. His hands are up like this, right? So Imam Khomeini about to make salah. His son says, Sayyid Ahmad Agha, he said, I had a telephone call that one of our provinces, either the city in the province or the province itself, had just been attacked. They basically were afraid that it's going to fall, and they're calling here, talking to Imam Khomeini, they need to know, what is our responsibility? Khuzestan. What do we do? He says that I came in, and it was such an urgent situation, I couldn't let Imam Khomeini finish his salat. Imam Khomeini's hands are like this. He's about to do the takbir. And I said, I have such and such on the phone. Such and such has just happened. What is our responsibility? Imam Khomeini's hands like this. He said, Imam Khomeini didn't even put his hands down and answer. Imam Khomeini, he just said, tell them to resist. Allahu Akbar. Okay, now that's a description of Imam Khomeini. My question is us. Why is it our tawakkul is weak? Why aren't we able to have that kind of faith and iman and peace? Why is it that we're even sometimes we put on a brave face, right? We're going through life, we put on a brave face. Nobody knows I'm stressed, right? Because I carry myself well. I ooze confidence. It doesn't mean internally that I've reached that stage of Imam Khomeini. That's a high, lofty stage. If I have internal peace, we already learned the principle.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen. محمد يا مؤمنين صل على